morning, everybody. Good morning. Wow. Come on. Brother and sister, learn from Acts chapter 10. Before you come to worship, prepare your heart, okay? Prepare your heart, okay? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us when we hear your word and help us to put it into practice so that we won't deceive ourselves. And when we walk in your way, I pray that according to the book of James, you bless us all the days of our life until we see you face to face. And today, we ask that you're going to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that's written on the Bible, and help us to understand so that we truly know you. And then we walk in your way, and then we be blessed by you. And then we come back with excitement and give you thanks and give you praise. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For the last few weeks, I talk about the adoption as sons belongs to Israel. And then 2 weeks ago, I talk about the divine glory belongs to the people of Israel. Now today, I talk about the covenants, the receiving of the law, and the temple worship, and the promises, and the patriarch. All this belongs to Israel. When the Bible says certain things belong to you, it doesn't mean, I want you to write that down, okay? When the Bible says certain things belong to you, doesn't mean you're going to get it automatically. You have to seek for it. When you hear that God say, oh, this thing belongs to you, and this thing I give it to you, you have to ask for it. You have to seek for it. You don't just sit tight and then wait for it and you think you got it. You won't get it. Okay? Whenever the Bible say, certain thing I give it to you, like the adoption as son, the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, the promises, the patriarch, all this belongs to you. But doesn't mean that automatically you receive it. And why I'm saying that? In verse 6, Romans chapter 9, verse 6, it is not as though God's word has failed. Why Paul saying that? Because Paul said that all these things belong to you, but the Israelite, they don't get it. They don't get it. Is that doesn't mean that God's word has failed? No, God's word hasn't failed. Just that you don't understand God's will. You understand? When Paul say that, I read it one more time. I want to circle the word 9:6 is very, very important. It is not as though God's word has failed. No, God's word never fails. But the thing is, if you don't understand God's word, you won't get it. Now I want to circle the word 9:6. God's word never fails. Who fail? God's people fail. Why? You write down Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people perish. My people don't receive the blessing because they lack of what? They lack of knowledge. They don't understand God's word. You know what? They only come to the, in those days, they only come to the temple or they come to the synagogue on Saturday, one day a week. One day. Maybe 1 hour, 2 hours. And they thought they got it. They don't get it. Brother and sister, I encourage you, at home every day you read the scripture. And then you check out to see what you hear from your preacher is exactly what is written in the Bible. You do not deceive yourself thinking that you get it. God's word never fails. Who fail? The people of God fail. Okay? I say that one more time. My people are destroyed. They don't get the blessing. Why? Because they lack of knowledge. What do you mean by they lack of knowledge? Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, because my people have rejected knowledge. You rejected knowledge, you reject God's word, God reject you. That's why the Bible says, I also reject you as my priest because you have ignored the law of your God. And I also will ignore your children. The more the priests in Greece, the more they sin against me. They exchange the glory for something disgraceful. People thinking that are going to a synagogue. There's a lot of priests, a lot of pastors, and I will be good. No, the Bible say the more the priests increase, the more God's people sins against me. Because if there's more priests, then the congregation don't have to serve. They don't serve God. They thought they are okay. No, they are not okay. Okay? And then in Hosea 4:8, they feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness, and it will be like people, like priests. Eventually, the people changing the priest. It's not the priest changing the people. So that's why the Bible says, I will punish both of them for their way and repay them for their deeds. Go back to Romans chapter 9, verse 6. God's word never fail, but man fail because they lack of knowledge. They don't study, they just hear them. Okay? And then Satan snatched the word of God out of their heart because Satan afraid that if you have the word of God within your heart, then you will believe. When you believe, then you will be saved. Satan wants you to go to hell. So that's why he would take away the word that you heard. If people ask you, what did you hear 2 weeks ago? I don't ask, what did you hear last week? Okay? I say, 2 weeks ago, what did you hear? I don't think you will remember unless you take your time to read that. So it proved that God's word never fails. He tells us ahead of time. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 12, Satan will snatch the word out of the heart of those people who are hardened his heart. They don't study God's word. You don't study it, and Satan is going to snatch it away. Luke 8, 12. Those along the path are the one who hear. Along the path, that means they are hardened their heart. And the devil is Satan, comes and takes away the word from their heart. Satan cannot take away the word of God from the new heart, from a good heart. No, they cannot. Because they study the scripture, they get hold of it already. Those who do not study, they harden their heart. And they hear something, they thought they got it, but they don't get it. Satan is afraid that when you hear God's word, you hide that within your heart, you study it, you remember it, then you will believe in it, and you will be saved. The devil comes and take away the word from their hardened hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. God's word never fails. What is impossible with man is possible with God. So what God requires of us to do is not just here on Sunday. He expects you to study every day. I've never seen any healthy man only eat one meal in 7 days. And that's exactly what happened to the Christian. Eat a big feast on Sunday. And then when you go home, you have diarrhea already. Everything come out. Right? Don't do that. You may not believe in me. I tell you one thing. When Jesus Christ come back, when he judge us, he will judge you according to what I have said today, according to the word of God. He will ask you, do you know me? Very likely, you don't know him. So I want to go back, talk about the covenant, talk about the promises, and talk about the patriarch. I use the example of Abraham. So I read that chapter 9, verse 6 to 9, to you first. It is not as though God's word has failed. God's word never fails. The one who fails is God's people. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. So I want you to write that down. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. They claim themselves to be the descendant of Israel, but Paul said that you are not Israel. You know what? If you don't understand that, if you don't understand Romans chapter 9, verse 6, if you don't take your time to memorize it, and when Jesus say in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, you won't understand either. Do me a favor. Turn to it. If you take time to memorize God's word, the more you memorize, the more you understand God's word. I know your affliction and your poverty, Jesus said, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. A lot of people, they proclaim themselves to be Jews, but Jesus say, you are not Jews. You are a synagogue of Satan. Go to 3:9. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are a liar, I will make them come and bow down and fall at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. When the preacher say things like that, the first instant the audience will think, this pastor is no good pastor. So that's why a lot of pastors nowadays, they don't say Revelation 2:9. They don't say Revelation 3:9. Nor do they say Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Not every descendant of Israel are Israel. And you know what? Even though you read that, I don't think you understand that. This statement, because it looks like it's not a blessing there. Whoever say things like that, you're going to hate that guy. Okay? You're going to persecute him. Am I right? If I say you come to the church, you don't study the scripture from Monday to Saturday, and only Sunday you go to the church as if you love the word of the Lord, you deceive yourself. Because you eat three meals a day. If you don't eat three meals a day, you eat two meals a day. Am I right? With a lot of snack too. You don't just eat one meal a week. And how can you be healthy? Brother and sister, I hope and I pray after this sermon, you're going to turn around. You know what? If you don't turn around, eventually when you face Jesus Christ, He going to reject you because you rejected him. Okay? Now I go back. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. And then Paul gives the explanation in here. Nor because they are his descendant, are they all Abraham's children. Isn't it when you write that Abraham's children, you write down Gospel of John chapter 8, the entire chapter. You read that, you will see what I'm trying to say. In Jesus' time, Jesus talked to the Pharisee, and the Pharisee, they claim, the Jewish people, they claim, because they listen to the teaching of the Pharisee, and they say, we are Abraham's children. And Jesus said, no, you are not Abraham's children. You are children of Satan. And they don't understand. You know what? You're not supposed to read the Revelation. You're supposed to read the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse. Revelation is the last book. Okay? Gospel of John written by John. Revelation written by John. When Apostle John write the book, Gospel of John, in chapter 8, the conversation between the Pharisee, the Jewish people, and Jesus say, you are not Abraham's children. Your father is the devil. And they feel very upset. Brother and sister, listen to me, listen to me. Don't feel upset. When people say you don't get it, you don't upset, you turn around, you repent. I tell you why Paul's saying what he's saying. Okay? When you feel upset, I want you to learn from it. You write down chapter 9, verse 1. Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. First of all, when he say I speak the truth in Christ, that means it is Jesus Christ who lives in me, using my mouth to speak Jesus' word. And then he say that, I'm not lying. My conscience confirmed that I'm not lying in the Holy Spirit, because my Holy Spirit is controlling me. And every word that I say, Paul said, is God's word. I want you to write that down. Chapter 9, verse 1. You write down. Chapter 14, verse 37. 1 Corinthians. 14, 37. If anybody think he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignore this, he himself will be ignored. Paul say that. I speak the truth. Go back to Romans chapter 9. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirm it in the Holy Spirit. Now I go to verse 6 again. I will go back to verse 1, okay? So that's why, you know why I say that you have to go home and study? You don't just listen. You don't just believe in what the preacher say. You go and study what the Bible was written, okay? For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendant are they all Abraham's children. And Paul said that, I speak the truth, and I'm not lying. I speak the truth in Christ. And that's not good enough, because when the preacher say I speak the truth, I know that a lot of preachers, they tell lies, okay? You say, how do I know that? Will you do me a favor right beside 9:1? You go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. We, that means Paul, Timothy, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. This letter was written by both of them to the church in Corinth. So we go back, chapter 2, verse 17. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. In other words, Paul saying that a lot of preachers peddle the word of God for profit. But Paul is not. Timothy is not. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. When you give hard teaching, you have to make sure you say that. You tell the truth. You speak the truth in Christ Jesus, and you are not lying. Because a lot of preachers peddle the word of God for profit. When they say things that you like to hear, he didn't have to tell you, I tell the truth, because you have already accepted it. You have to be wise, my friend, because none of us are wise. Turn from your simple way that you will live, and once you live, you walk in the way of understanding. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. Live your simple way. Okay? When the preacher say, I speak the truth in Christ Jesus, he meant what he say. And he's not lying. His conscience confirmed that he's not lying in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is his witness. The Holy Spirit is his witness. Brother and sister, if you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you know that. You know that deep down who is speaking the truth. Because the Spirit is the truth. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, the Spirit is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. 17:17, Gospel of John. If the preacher is not preaching the word of God, he's not telling you the truth. He's telling his own opinion, man. If he's telling you something you like to hear, you buy that already. He didn't have to say, I tell the truth. You buy that. You like to hear. You like to be deceived. That's why you're simple. Turn to 17:17. The word of God can sanctify you, make you holy, because the word of God is true. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. Right beside 17:17, you write down 5:7, 1 John. The Spirit is true. If Apostle John saying that, I'm sorry, if Apostle Paul saying that, my conscience confirm it in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the truth. You know what? The English one is 5:6, the Chinese one is 5:7, whatever, okay? Because the Spirit is what? It's the truth. Now, that's not good enough. Whoever speak the truth, that servant has to prepare himself to be crucified. That's why Paul saying that in chapter 9, verse 2. I have great sorrow why Paul has great sorrow for his own brother. Because they don't understand him. They do their own thing. Paul know that in the end, they will go to hell. But Paul did not want them to go to hell. So Paul said that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, seeing his own brother, his own kinsman, seeing the people of Israel, his own race, to go to hell, doesn't make him happy. In verse 3, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brother, for my own race, for the people of Israel. Brother and sister, you know why a lot of preachers, they dare not say things, the heart saying, but that's the truth, because they don't want to take the blow, the hurt. But Paul is willing to do that. In other words, he say that out of love. I want you to write that down. Chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, you write down. Paul spoke to you in love. That love is sacrificial love. He's willing to die for you. I don't think the preacher nowadays willing to die for you. No way. You know, you don't study the scripture. You don't even understand what he's trying to say. You think he's going to die for you? No way. Forget it. That's why Paul's saying that. I want you to write that down, man. I want you to remember what I say in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Any man who sent from God speak the word of God, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit without limit. You write that down, 2:17. You write down Gospel of John, 3:34. Jesus Christ was sent from God, and he speak the word of God. He don't speak any other things. And he was so filled with the Holy Spirit and willing to suffer for the audience. And Paul followed the example of Jesus Christ. I want you to write down right beside chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. I show it to you. How you going to do it? Romans 9, 1 to 3. You write down 2 Corinthians. 2:17. And then you write down. And then you write down chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. We can be a pastor. This is by God's mercy. And we do not lose heart. Why lose heart? Because when Paul saying things, they don't believe in it. They don't buy in it. Because it's a hard saying. It changed people's life. They don't like it. In verse 2, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful way. And Paul say that we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, and we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He speak according to his own conscience in the spirit. He also speaks to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Deep in your heart, if you have the Holy Spirit, you know who is telling the truth. So what did I say? Chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, right? I just read that. Now I go to read verse 3. For even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The reason why people don't understand God's word, because they're destined to be destruction. They lack of knowledge. They don't study. In verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You write that down. 4, 1 to 4. I don't know about you. When I was engineer, I don't like the professor to tell me something that I have already know. I want to be a good engineer. I want him to tell me something I never know. If I have never known, I have to study myself in order to get the knowledge. That's how I grow. I still remember my supervisor at that time, you know. He tell me to do things that's against the building code because he himself don't even read the building code and he's the supervisor, he's the owner. I say, you cannot do that because against the law. I didn't even know that. You know what I mean? What kind of engineer is that? A lot of people, they just speak. They don't know the stuff. But they are supervisor. Shame on them. And they think they are good until they open their mouth. Then they find out they're ignorant. Okay? Don't do that. Some employees, they dare not say it to you because they know that you don't know the stuff. Okay? Now I go back. When Paul say that, it is not as though God's word has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Unfortunately, many pastors, many preachers saying that, oh, you are descendant of Israel. Oh, of course you are Israelite. But Paul says this different thing, Paul telling the truth. Nor because they are his descendant are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I want to stay here to explain because just reading this one is so loaded with words, it's very, very hard to understand. I want you to go back to Genesis and then study the God's word with me together, starting with Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 all the way to verse 4. I read that to you. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. In other words, you have to obey God's word. You have to obey the truth. Leave your country. If you don't leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, you will not get what I have in store for you. In other words, I want you to write that down. 9:6 in Proverbs. Live your simple way and you will live. Once you live, you walk in the way of understanding. Go in a new direction. Then you will get blessing. What kind of blessing he talk about? 7 blessings. Number 1, I will make you into a great nation. Number 2, I will bless you. Number 3, I will make your name great. Number 4, you will be a blessing. Number 5, I will bless those who bless you. Number 6, whoever cursed you, I will curse. Number 7, all people on earth will be blessed through you. You won't get this unless you follow God's command. Leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. You do your own thing, you don't get this blessing. Although you hear this 7 blessing, you won't get it. The moment you get it, because you follow God's direction in verse 4. So Abraham left. That means he believed in God. He believed this sevenfold blessing. He believed that this blessing that God is going to give it to him is more than what he lost in his own country, in his own people, in his own father's household. I know that his father can give him heritage, inheritance too. But God gave him greater than that. So the Bible says in verse 4, so Abram left as the Lord has told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And then I turn into chapter 14. At that time, it's around 10 years later. He was 75 years old. He left his own countrymen. He lived his own country at the age of 75. He stayed in the promised land for 10 years. A lot of things happened. He goes through, in chapter 12, the famine. And he went down to Egypt, and he become very, very rich. When you become rich, Abram cannot live with his cousin, with his nephew, Lot. So they have separate from each other. But he allowed his relative to pick the piece of property wherever he go. He go to the north, I go to the south. He go to the east, I go to the west. Because he didn't want to argue with his relatives. He's a good man. And then Lot chose his property and lived there for a while. And then there's a war. Abram know about that. He sent 318 trained men, 14-14, to rescue Lot. And then he win the battle. It's amazing. But you know what? There are five kings fight against four kings, and end up the five kings lose the battle, the four kings win the battle, and you know what? Abraham has only 318 trained men and destroyed the four kings and then rescued Lot. And then the Greek high priest met him. His name called Melchizedek. Listen to his conversation, 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. He blesses Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who deliver your enemy into your hand. Listen to me carefully. The preacher say, you win the battle, it's not because you have a 318 strong man. You win the battle because God is with you. He bless you. A lot of people think that, oh, I get promotion, I get this, I get that. He thought, it's my own strength, my own wisdom. No, it is not. I'm telling you the truth. The hard truth is, God is with you. He bless you. You better acknowledge him. Okay, that's good. Now you understand that? And then, because you win the battle, you know, every time you win the battle, you take a lot of material stuff, silver and gold, you know, because can you imagine? Five kings was destroyed by their four kings, take over all the possession, and then 318 overcome the four kings. Of course, even more possession. You understand what I'm trying to say? So Abraham could have been even a richer man in the whole world. But he said, listen to me carefully. He said, I don't want this stuff. Whoever follow me, if they want it, let them take it. When I become rich, I want to make sure I become rich because it's from God. I don't want to become rich by winning this battle. Abraham is a faithful man. He said, I don't take this. He only take 1/10 of it and offer it to God. He take 1/10 of it, offer to God. That means he believed it is God who's helping him to win the battle. He acknowledged that all this wealth that I have now accumulate, I turn it back to God. Give God 1/10. And so later on, Abraham become even more richer. In chapter 15, after this battle, after he rescued Lot, after he became so rich that he didn't even want it, and then the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And God said to him, Abraham, do not be afraid. I am your shield. Actually, if God is not his shield, how can he win the battle? Are you kidding me? They are trained men, but they are not a warrior. I am your shield. I am your very great reward. Now listen to me. You know what? If he said, I want this wealth, then he won't hear that. Oh, that guy is totally different from all other men. You know what I mean? When he has the opportunity to become wealthy, he turned it down. He did not want people to say he become rich out of God. All the good thing is from God. Just like James chapter 1. Wow, he's a great man. God say, I am your shield. I am your protection. I am your very great reward. In verse 2, Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. This is an honest response to God. You know, I don't know whether you remember that you read the books Ecclesiastic. There's some rich man, he worked very, very hard, but he has no children. He worked day and night. And Solomon say he didn't even know when he died who's going to take possessions of his wealth. And Abraham understood that. He said to God, you gave me no children. My servant in my household will be my heir. He can inherit everything I have. So you bless me with great reward. It is of no use. And he didn't want it. What did he want? He wanted a child. Then verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir. Your servant will not be your heir. Listen to me one carefully. Servant will never inherit the master inherit. Only the son will inherit. And God said to him, your servant will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, how old is he at that time? I say 10 years later, that means 85 years old. 85 years old man. God took him outside and said to the 85 years old Abram, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. God know that he has given him no child at the age of 85, not even one child. But God say, your children will be as numerous as the stars. I don't know whether you understand what this really means. I think a lot of Christians, they don't even understand what this really means. I want you to write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. to 10. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That's Abraham. Abraham loved God, he obeyed God, but God has revealed it to Abraham by his spirit. What did God reveal to him? I want you to write that down. Chapter 15, verse 5, Genesis. You write down 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, 9 to 10. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. I want you to turn to Psalm. Verse 4. God, the Lord, determined the number of the star and called each star, each by name. Why would he do that? Because he promised Abraham, your descendant, your offspring, will be as numerous as the star in the sky. And then he called each star by name. Let's say if one of Abraham's descendants named John, he say, that star is called John. He makes sure there is enough star as much as the descendant of Abraham. You think if I don't reveal that truth to you, you think you understand? I don't think you understand. That's why Paul say that. I memorize the Bible verses because it's so precious. And that's why I'm going to hold on to it and ask God, you promise me, you give it to me, and I'm going to get it. You don't know what God has in store for you. That's why you pursue your own thing. You think you're doing right. You think you are smart. Proverbs chapter 3 says, my son, lean not on your own understanding. Live your simple way, man. And walk in the way of understanding. When God determined the number of the star, on top of that, when God called each star by name, don't you know that Jesus Christ knows his sheep and he called each sheep by name? I don't know about you. If you're wealthy, if you have a lot of property, you're going to write down in your will, this one is given to my number one son. That one is given to my number two son. And called by name. Take a look at the New Testament teaching. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 25. Only hold on to what you have until I come. Make sure you don't lose it. Don't let Satan to snatch out of your hand, out of your heart. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end. First of all, hold on to what you have. Hold on to what God promised you. I will make your descendant, your offspring, as numerous as the star in the sky. Hold on to what you have heard in these precious promises until I come. When I come, you're going to say, you asked for it. Lord, isn't it? You told me. Because your word never failed. Men fail, but you never fail. You promised to give it to me. Now give it to me. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nation. That means he will reign in the millennium kingdom for 1,000 years as king. Verse 27. And he will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery, just like Jesus Christ. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. Same thing. Just as I have received authority from my Father. Verse 28. This is beautiful. I will give him, the overcomer, the morning star. God wants all of his children not to be a loser, to be an overcomer. I give you a morning star. That morning star is Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 4. That star. I go back to Genesis chapter 15. Then God said to Abram, so shall your offspring be. Your offspring will be as numerous as the star. I want you to write that down. Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. Verse 6 to 8. You make him ruler over the work of your hand. I want you to write that down. The work of your hand. What are the work of your hand? The work of your hand, you write down verse 3. The moon, the star, which you have set in place. You make him ruler over the work of your hand. You put everything under his feet. Brother and sister, everything in verse 7 to verse 8 is part of the everything. Everything, including the star that God gave it to you. All flocks and herbs and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and all that swim the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Do you know how much God has given it to you? And you are pursuing things other than what he has given it to you? Are we simple men or are we wise men? Linda? You know, I don't want to be a simple man, you know what I mean? I want to be a wise man. I want to make sure that I know what I'm going to get. And we're going to pursue him after that. It is very, very good stuff, you know? When God make all the star, and he's not giving it to us, are you kidding? He give you all things. I want you to write that down. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. If God did not spare his own son, even his own son, Jesus Christ, has given it to you, how much more will he not give you all things? All things, that's it, including the star. That's the finger. That's the work of his finger, the work of his hand. That's it, including that. You study that. You ask God, okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 32, I said. God who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how much will he not also, along with Jesus Christ, graciously give us all things? That all thing, you write down Psalm 147:4. That's all thing. You write down Psalm chapter 8, verse 6 to 8. All things. That is wonderful. That's wonderful. No eye, you write that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has in store, has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? Do you love his word? Do you study his word? Or you spend all your time to look after your own household, your garden, mow the lawn, vacuum the house. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? You know what? You don't study the scripture. You don't even know what I'm saying is true or not. That's the sad thing. That's really, really sad. You have to study it. In ending, I haven't finished it, I just touch it. Ending, I tell you a story. When I joined the consulting engineering firm, and the VP, he's the one who graduated from U of A, and he did the project in Neuminster, it's a parquet, and that guy, he is a good draftsman. The draftsman copied the parquet from another project. He just, before he even decide doing any calculation, the drawing is prepared by the chief draftsman. And that guy is a lazy guy. He doesn't know engineering. He put a stamp and sent it out for tender, and it was built. And then found out there's crack in the beam, sinking of the foundation, and the president don't know how to handle that. When I applied the job, I say I got a gold medal in engineering. I finished a degree in 4 years, two degree. He hired me. And then I do the calculation. I found out all the calculation is wrong. Because before I come to work for him, I work in Hong Kong, so I know the BS, the British standard. So I using the British standard, it failed. But I use the Canadian standard, it works. I use the American standard, it works. Because at that time, American using ultimate design. Canadian still using elastic design. So I submit it, I change the calculation, and then show up the foundation, and then saving the company for collapse. You say, "Oh, John, you're a good man. I give you share, 25%. And that guy is deceiving me. So, and then he put my name into his company to be the one who put the stamp. And later on, we found out that he lost $1.5 million because of that project. And you give me 25%, what good does it do? It's deficit. Brother and sister, you better know your stuff. You can BS all the time. By the time when you fail, people are going to kick you out, okay? I guarantee you. Same as in Bible knowledge. Don't be a simple man. Study it, study it, and study it so that you can master the material, so that you know what you're talking about. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you hear our prayer. We confess before you that we are simple men. We don't know what you have in store for us. We think we understand your word, but we don't. I pray that you have mercy on each and every one of us. And help us to be diligent in studying your word, That's how you make a covenant with your own people. And help us to study it every day, learn from it. It takes 40 years to learn your word before we see you face to face. I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.